So the big question is this. How do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answer.
All right, welcome everybody to the Sales Secrets Podcast. We're excited to jump in. We're going to be talking sales stack today, how to do it, why to do it, when to do it. And to do that, we got Kyle Lacey. He's currently the Vice President of Marketing at a company called Lessonly. And it'll be interesting to kind of hear about them, up and coming, doing some cool stuff. So Kyle, thanks for joining. How's that going, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Do I give you like a background
or what's the...
Yeah, well, let's do it. Can you tell us maybe just a little bit about yourself and what you do at Lessonly? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I lead marketing at Lessonly. Lessonly is an online training software. So we do everything from sales enablement to onboarding to training for customer service teams and sales teams across software, retail, e-commerce, telecom. 650 customers based in Indianapolis. We have 103 employees.
Yeah.
My role consists of almost all top of funnel demand gen. So I have a team of demand gen marketers, as well as we have all the SDRs inbound and outbound across enterprise, mid-market, and SMB lives in marketing. My past life was at ExactTarget, then Salesforce, and then I spent a couple years at a venture capital firm called OpenView in Boston before coming to Lessonly.
You weren't then always in Indianapolis, right? It sounds like you bounced around. Was Indianapolis home, or has it always kind of been home?
Yeah, Indianapolis is home. We spent 2 years in Boston, and then Lessonly is a portfolio company of OpenView. So when Max, the CEO, is looking for a marketing leader, my wife and I wanted to get back, so we definitely took it because the company's awesome.
Awesome, man. Well, in Indianapolis, I've only been there a couple times, but I know.
You should come, man.
It's kind of a fun town, but I haven't spent a lot of time there, to be honest. Well, it'd be fun to actually talk probably about your time at OpenView and others, but there was a cool post you did on LinkedIn, and you know, you went pretty specific on thinking about how to optimize your stack. And I think that was focused, to your point, more on what you're doing, which is marketing and sales development. True?
Yep.
That was true, right?
Yep.
But it was a great post, got a lot of love. I had a little bit of beef with it, you know, not a lot, just a little. we won't cover that too much, but I thought it'd be interesting to kind of walk through that, get your opinion as to how you got there. So maybe we can start here. As you thought about optimizing that, especially as that team rolled in, what were some of the things going through your head as you were like, okay, how do I get the right, why do I need the right tech stack? How do I start thinking about getting the right tech stack?
Well, our main focus initially was how do we surface qualified accounts to an SDR team that needs qualified accounts. So what we were doing before was they were sourcing it on their own for AEs. And what we realized was the best thing we can possibly do for SDRs is to source the accounts based off of signals.
Yes.
In the market, whether that's fundraising or they're an InsideSales.com customer or they just got a new CEO or whatever. And that was the foundation. So DataFox is the vendor that we went with ultimately that kind of laid that foundation. And we're tracking 80 different market signals within the platform. So it bubbles up accounts that we might find interesting, and then that's sent to the SDRs to work. But that was the foundation. And then for the outbound, it was more just building on top of what they already had. And that foundation was really already in place. On the marketing side, we are still working on how do we qualify with intent with all these. I mean, we could spend 20 minutes talking about account-based marketing, which is a whole other thing. But it was really based off of that account level and then working up from that. Like, how do you find... You know, the SDRs started running into not being able to find the right contacts using Sales Navigator, so we supplemented with Zoom Info.
Got it.
So it was a build. The foundation, though, is the account level.
Yeah, so you got to kind of start because, man, it is. I had a mentor of mine tell me, look, when it comes to marketing, man, it's all about the account. It's all about the lead, you know, like
how
to start there. That's a problem for a lot of people. I mean, I just talked to a sales rep and you know, he called me. He's like, hey, I got assigned a territory. I got 6,000 accounts and I don't even know kind of where to start. You were mentioning intent, and I also don't know. So if I want to go too deep down that, but
yeah.
Data Fox then was the trigger to kind of understand maybe who I should go after. And then Zoom was the supplemental on the contact side to make sure I had like the right email and phone number. And that gave you enough to at least say, okay, I've got Salesforce and now I know who I'm going after. Now let's dive a little deeper. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And our a core component of our strategy is direct mail. So Zoom Info and Data Fox, that data together allowed us to get addresses that were as correct as they can be. And we did all of it in-house, and we recently brought in Sendoso to do all of our direct mail enablement.
Yeah. Got it.
So because that's like, look, man, I mean, we can talk all day long about ad platforms and digital advertising and social ads, but direct mail, best performing channel for us by far.
Interesting. So, that's good to hear, man. So you're using Sendoza. I didn't see that on your initial list. Into Salesforce. We actually use one of their competitors called Rocket Notes. Mm-hmm. Just found, you know, I mean, give or take, you know, there's pros and cons to each, but is there something that is, I would say the same, man. I mean, for us, and we were talking about segments for our enterprise space, direct mail, we do a, you know, crap ton, let's be
right.
Appropriate words here. Let's do crap ton of direct mail. Is there something you've found, not diving again too deep into it? Is it just the direct mail piece? Does it need to be, is it a card? Is it big wine bottles? I love the guys over at Sendoza. Is anything kind of quick tips on direct mailer?
Well, the most important thing is, especially for a sales audience, is to allow your reps to be involved in the process. Because whether it's handwriting cards or using Sendoza or using any of the other vendors, getting them involved in the process is important, because direct mail is probably not going to direct source something, but it will drive pipeline faster.
Yeah.
Right. So for us, llama's our mascot. We do golden llamas that we send out to whoever they want. And it's the most important thing about this, though, that salespeople need to remember is that our best performing direct mail is not about our product. It's about our brand. We give a golden llama to an employee every quarter that exhibits our values. We've sent out now 800 of these golden llamas to prospects, because it shows the values of Lesson Lee, not a feature set or like a, I love the coffee cards that you can send out. I think they work, but the reality is that it has to be creative, especially if you're in a crowded space, which we are both in.
It's getting harder, but man, I love direct mail. That's awesome. Okay.
I will send you one. I will send you one right after this call. Actually, we have.
Am I not one of your target audience? Man, sell me here. Come on.
I think you are, actually. I will send you one. They have Santa hats on them right now. So yeah. I'll just send you one.
I love it. So, okay. So you got the account, you kind of got direct mailer, and then you move a little more away from marketing probably and start to get into that sales development. How did you start to think about kind of taking that account and then starting to reach out? Sendoza was one. Where else did you go?
Well, they already had Sales Navigator in place. We had another prospecting tool that we are getting rid of for Zoom Info. I know that we had talked about this, but we use Sales Lofts now for cadences, and mostly it was just defining the process around how to use the software. We didn't make any massive changes on the tack on or the stack on the sales side. It was more just refining. It was like, all right, so we're going to add contacts to the top of the funnel. Everybody has to do 25 a day. We need Salesforce dashboards to handle that, to make sure everybody's living up to what they are meant to do every day. And that, for me, that was the biggest thing. It was just applying a process and making sure that the SDRs and the outbound sales team in general was following that process and that activity level.
Interesting. Yeah. So a couple of quick follow-ups there. I mean, this is actually where Kyle and I, you know, I trolled his LinkedIn post like a true punk.
Dave Gerhardt gives it to me all the time because we're using Intercom.
Oh yeah, look at that, using Intercom. Yes, yeah, that's right. I'm gonna
sorry, Dave.
After this and be like, hey,
I know.
That's No, so I gave it to him because, you know, Inside Sales has a competitive cadence tool, the Sales Loft. So I trolled him a little bit, but it's a cool talk track nonetheless. Can you just quickly, for those people who don't know about cadences, I mean, what is kind of the advantage that you felt like that really gave your sales team? Again, whether it's a Sales Loft or an InsideSales.com, was it the standardization? Was it the templates? Was it just following through? Like, why was that such a fundamental piece to the SDR puzzle?
Yeah, I think it's standardization around messaging, but that's like secondary. I think primary is just having some type of process for people to follow to get in front of prospects. So if you have, you know, this is what we were doing before. If SDRs were going and just doing whatever they wanted, some were running 7-day cadences, some were running 12, correct, some are running 15, some are running 30. There's no data set there that you can make any decision off of, because everybody's doing something different. Everybody was using different messaging. So it might work, but you're going to get to a point, especially if you're good at what you do, where that's not scalable. It's like, you cannot make database, like, a great quote that I heard about 5 years ago at Exact Target Conference was, we must move from numbers keeping score to numbers that drive better actions. And if you just have people do whatever the hell they want on processes, you're only keeping track of scores. You're not trying to create better actions in the future. And that is number one thing when it comes to just cadence tracking. And tools like Inside Sales and Sales Loft and all the other people, like, they just allow you to do that and do it well. And most of the time, you know, every single SDR in our team is really good at what they do, but they're also young. So you need to make sure that you're setting that process in place and allowing them to get to their full potential, which all of them are very good at what they do. And just like we have a process around designing a direct mail campaign on the brand team, the same thing applies to cadences for the outbound SDRs.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you had kind of the CRM, then you got the data, and then you've got some of these tools, again, to kind of follow up or reach out to people. Then there was a couple on this, and for the audience, I will make sure I put a link to Kyle's post. Is there another place where this is housed, on your blog or something, Kyle, or is it only on LinkedIn?
No, it's only on LinkedIn. Okay.
I'll make sure we put this in the show notes because we won't have time to go through every one of them. But Kyle, there's a couple on here that were a little, and again, I've got kind of a marketing and BD hat myself. And so I was like, what is, you had both Trello and Monday. And from a marketing perspective, you know, I felt like we've struggled. We've played with a couple different project management tool sets and it's been messy. Have you settled in for Trello? I don't know Monday though. Is that how you kind of do marketing and campaign management then?
Yeah. So we were using Trello for the past 2 years, and what happened was Trello is really good for the daily standups and keeping track of our sprints and our tasks and our blockers and things that are killed and all that stuff as a team. Uh-huh. Our demand gen team is 11 people. Uh-huh. What started happening was, the projects became more robust. So you had multiple owners. We started finding that our creative teams were functioning more like agencies, and they will continue to do that as we grow. So that's why Trello, the Gantt chart just wasn't working on Trello. We weren't managing like to-dos and tasks very well.
Yeah.
And so Monday.com is basically a project management tool, like the competitor to an Asana as an example. But we had to have a place where we were keeping track of, you know, our enterprise campaign for Q4, our outbound SMB direct mail campaign for Q1, because we only have, we have two designers and a director or a brand that handle everything, all design for the company.
Yeah. So you then use Monday kind of for the big project pieces, and then Trello is kind of the day-to-day task.
Yeah. And I use Trello for day-to-day. My designers use Monday for day-to-day. It really depends. We pretty much came to the point where we said, you can use what you want. I just like the Chrome extension for Gmail that Trello has. So
interesting.
That's what I use it for.
Yeah, we took some money recently from Microsoft. This is our second round. We took another $35 million in January. And so a big push to move more away from Gmail. We moved away from from Slack onto Teams, and so we've been trying to use some of their tool sets. And, I don't know. We may need to look elsewhere, see if we can tighten up some of those pieces. A couple more questions on this. now I'm just going to things I want to know. I've looked at Sigster before.
Yeah.
And I've debated it. Sounds like you went with it. Can you tell what it is? And, I mean, you like it, I guess, right? I mean, that's kind of
– Yeah, I mean, they're – I can see their office from here. So they're an indie-based company. We're most of the people, we worked at ExactTarget together in Indy. So their email signature marketing is one subset, which is, you know, you can do account-based stuff within your email signature. People click on the email banner and it will send it to a landing page. You get lead gen. The other side of it is Sigster Pulse, which they just released, that is kind of an account-based play in the inbox. So let's say that your chief sales officer was emailing somebody from Microsoft and your SDR was prospecting a different business unit for Microsoft. Sigster Pulse could tell you that your CSO actually has a relationship in the inbox with that chief, with somebody from Microsoft. So they're kind of taking a LinkedIn second, third degree approach, but to the inbox. So for large orgs, you could see where you have 100 salespeople and you can't spend that much time trying to figure out who's connected. Like the inbox is like the, they believe the inbox is the most important relationship that we have with our network because that's where we spend a lot of our time.
Yeah, cool.
So that's what they do.
That's interesting. All right. Well, I'll have to check that one out. And then this one, Dooley Playbooks. What's Dooley? I've never heard of Dooley.
So this is where I start getting disconnected because Dooley is a, and I am going to, I hope that, well, I trust that a ton of people are watching this, but they help with like the usage and note taking within Salesforce.
Oh.
So Dooley is mostly actually used primarily by the account executives and SDRs.
Got it. So you even went that far. Got it.
Yeah. So it's like, it just helps in keeping track of what is happening in a sales meeting, keeping track of what happened after the second meeting, like note taking.
Yep.
It's just an easier way to input data within our CRM.
Ah, interesting. All right. Well, again, guys, we're bouncing around a little bit, but I will make sure I put this through so you can kind of see his top 20. It's about 20-ish type list here, and you can kind of follow up with questions specifically with Kyle.
Yeah.
One step out again, Kyle, as we kind of wrap to the end here. People like myself are thinking about tech stacks all the time. I mean, shiny objects, you know, we get a new call every day and it's like, hey, we're the new thing and you know, we can grow your revenue by 400%. And I'm like, I want that. That's what right. 400% thing. How would you just kind of guide people to start thinking about building an optimal stack as we're all in different parts of our journey, principles that you could kind of leave behind?
Oh man. I that's a great question because the reality is it's hard. It is so hard. And it's, the way that we approach it is if we are looking at our go-to-market and we're looking at our prospect journeys and we're looking at buyers and our personas and all that crap that you have to do, right, as a good marketing sales org, if we see holes in the journey, like an example is maybe we do not have an ad platform right now, like the Triblios of the world, Terminuses of the world.
Yep.
Is that a hole? Okay, maybe we need to look at that hole and to see if we can get a 1-to-1 return on that or 3-to-1 return on that platform buy. Like for reviews, we didn't have a reviews provider. So we went out and talked to all the review platforms, Trustpilot, G2 Crowd, TrustRadius, all of them, right? And we made a decision based off of return. And what I tell all vendors, which I think everybody should, is that I am expecting a direct source 1-to-1, if not 3-to-1 return on my spend on your platform, or I will not be around the second year. Mm. And that's the reality. Because
I like that. There
is no reason that anybody should not be able to track like direct source or multi-touch attribution back to a platform that you're using.
Yeah.
And it's extremely important, especially as you get, you know, if you have a limited amount of spend or, you know, you're about to raise again, like as software companies, it's very important that we watch that.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's probably right. Watch the ROI. I mean, I've found sometimes you got to test them and see if you can get that ROI. I mean, sometimes that's right? People can tell all day long, but proof's in the pudding. I love it, man. Well, again, time's short here. If someone wants to get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about Lessonly, what's the best way to do that?
LinkedIn, or you can go to lessonly.com. My LinkedIn, I'm pretty open on my LinkedIn profile. So if anybody wants to chat, just hit me up there.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't troll him and say dirty comments about his technique.
I'll take that too. I get it enough.
Anyways, Kyle, really appreciate you joining again for the audience. Appreciate you, and remember, success, just one play.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.